Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Church, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. And for a first little bit of our time this morning, I want to focus in on Ephesians chapter 3. And so if you'll make your way there, we'll spend some time in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, as we launched into our Beyond Capital campaign a year ago this Sunday. We opened God's Word and we walked through this passage of Scripture. It's one that has set the tone for us. It's one that is guiding all that we are seeking to do here at North River. We believe that God has a purpose for us as a church family, that God has a purpose for each of us individually, and that God is using North River Church to make an impact in this community. And as we continue on in our service this morning, we're going to be able to unpack that a little bit more as it relates to our building campaign and as we look down the road for what God has in store for us. If you'll take your hand out, this will give you an opportunity to take some notes as we walk through this passage. And kids, I know that you have a kids handout, and there's some words that you need to be paying attention to. And Pastor Adam said, if I don't hit every word, that you're going to be upset with me, okay? So we're going to do our best this morning to make sure we hit every word and give you an opportunity to hear God's Word as well. I want to read for us Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I want to pray for us and then just walk back through the text this morning. Paul writes in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Father, we ask this morning that as we open your word together, as your faith family gathered here at North River, that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear, and that you'd open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your Spirit. And we ask all of that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I absolutely love Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14, 3, verses 14 through 21. You know, for me, Paul's pastoral heart comes out. And church family, I want you to know that I love you. And this pastoral prayer is a prayer that I pray for our faith family here at North River. One of the things that I believe God is doing is preparing us for doing more than we could ask or imagine. As we talk this morning, I want to invite one of our guys up here in just a little bit that's serving on this capital campaign team to unpack that just a little bit more as we think about what God's done in the life of this church since it began almost 9 years ago, what God is doing and what we believe God wants to do. But as we think about Paul's prayer here, I love the fact that Paul and his mind, this group of believers that he loves dearly in Ephesus, where he had spent time ministering to them, sharing the gospel in the community, in fact, being persecuted as he was there sharing the gospel, Paul prays a prayer for them that is remarkable. In fact, he says, "For this reason, he bows his knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Listen to verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul prays for this group of believers that they would be strengthened by the Spirit of God who dwells within them. And not just that they would be strengthened, but he says here, according to the riches of his glory. I had one of our church members a few weeks ago when I talked about the riches of God's glory. They made the comment to me, I thought, gosh, that is so good. I have to steal that. But I give them credit for it, okay? So, Miss Connie, we love you. Thank you for sharing this for your pastor. You realize that God's riches, God's bank account is never overdrawn. God's never in need. God is never looking and going, I just wish I had the resources to strengthen you and I as believers. In fact, he says here that according to the riches of his glory, which is unlimited, there's no end to the riches of God's glory. He strengthens us with power through his Spirit in our inner being. For what purpose? Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul emphasizes here faith in Jesus Christ. It's not faith in just an idea. It's not faith in faith. It's faith in a person. We talk about salvation. That is what we're talking about. Faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Faith in Jesus Christ. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Listen to this. The breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Paul writes and he says, because Christ dwells within you, because of your faith in him, I want that faith to lead to something. Now, in our lives, faith in Jesus Christ should lead to something. Paul here says, I'm praying that your faith in Jesus Christ would lead to you being able to comprehend, being able to understand, being able to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. Church family, that's my prayer for us, because here's what I'm convinced of. If we will grasp the love of God and the desire of God to spread what Christ has done throughout our community and throughout the world, if we will grasp just how amazing the grace is that we have received, we won't build a church building big enough for the lives that will be transformed. That's what Paul understands here. Paul recognizes, he says, I want these believers in Ephesus, and I can say, this is what I desire for us as well, that we would begin to comprehend. Even if it's just a little bit at a time, that we would begin to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. That we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Just imagine with me for a second, church, if we began to get it. If we truly began to understand, if we truly began to grasp God's love for us, not just on a flat level, but I mean the breadth and the depth and the height and the width of God's love. Like if we could just begin to grasp that, it would transform our lives and it would transform this community. Sometimes we may be guilty of just kind of playing around a little bit with God's love for us. We're like, we got it, and we're happy with it, and we just appreciate it, and we're thankful for it, and then I can go on and live my life how I want to. But Paul's prayer here for this group of believers is that they wouldn't get Jesus and then get over it. But that because of their faith in Jesus, that pardon the analogy, like a pig in the mud, that they would just wallow around in God's love. They would get it all over them. They would be saturated with God's love, that it would transform their hearts, that it would transform the community in which they found themselves there in Ephesus, that they would comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. They would know the love of Christ. They would be filled with the fullness of God. See, the truth is, faith in Jesus should lead to growth in Jesus. We shouldn't be stagnant in the Christian life. We should be continuously growing. One of the reasons that we gather on Sunday mornings together is that we seek to sing praises to the Lord. We seek to follow Him in obedience in giving. We seek to connect with Him in prayer. We seek to understand more of who He is through His Word. As we are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we recognize exactly what Christ has done for us. As we open His Word and we turn to page after page, we look and we recognize all that God has done throughout history, leading to the culmination of Jesus stepping foot on this planet, and then leading ultimately, as we read to the end of the story, of Christ coming back to this earth. As we look and we dive and we wallow around in God's Word, begin to grasp and to understand just how much God loves us. But not only that, how much God loves this community. Just think about that for a second. God loves this community more than we do. God loves your neighbor more than you do, and you're thinking, there's a good reason. But God loves the people that you work with. God loves the people that you shop next to. God loves your servers at the restaurants that you visit in our community. God loves this community more than we could ever love this community. But here's the thing. If we are saturated in understanding and comprehending God's love for us and God's love for this community, it compels us to do something. Compels us to act. It compels us to share the gospel of Jesus with other people. It compels us to look and to say, I want to make an impact as a church in this community. Faith in Jesus should lead to growth in Jesus, but I want you to notice the last two verses. Verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Just dwell on that for a second. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. You say, Michael, I don't see any hope for my neighbor. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. We think about this building project and $2 million, and you go, gosh, that's a lot of money. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. If our mindset is we're only going to do what we think we can accomplish on our own, as believers, we'll miss what God wants to do. Because God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Listen to this. According to the power at work within us. I want you to notice that. God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And He doesn't say, so I don't need you. He doesn't say, so it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you share the gospel with your neighbor. It doesn't matter whether you give. It doesn't matter whether you show up. No, in fact, He says here, according to the power at work within us. In fact, God desires to use us. God desires to use you. God wants to use you to reach your neighbor. God wants to use you to reach this community. God wants to use us. He invites us to participate with him in what he's doing. As we think about that, even in relation to building this building, God invites us to be a part of this. You say, Michael, you don't understand. I don't have a lot of money. Neither did the widow that Jesus saw in the temple, who gave what amounts to less than two pennies. And Jesus looked and said, she was one of the greatest givers. Why? Because she gave all that she had. See, church family, this is not for us about how much you can give. It's just about being obedient to give what God has laid on your heart. Because God can take what we think of as a meager amount, or maybe even what we think of as a great amount, and multiply it beyond all that we could ask or think. One clear picture of that is Jesus with the little boy's lunch, and he feeds 5,000. Jesus can take what we have, regardless of whether it's a lot or a little, and can multiply it beyond all that we can ask or think. For what reason? And I love this in verse 21. To him be glory. God doesn't work through us so that we get the glory for it. God doesn't bless you in financial terms so that when you give, you get the glory for it. In fact, all glory here, according to Paul, as he's writing to this group of believers, is looking and he says, all glory goes to Christ. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, as we follow Jesus, our faith in Jesus should lead to growth in Jesus. But hear me, all for the purpose of glory for his name. We gather together and we spend time in God's Word. Why? To know Jesus more deeply, to be used by him more efficiently for his glory. All of what we do is for him. All of what we give is ultimately for him. One of the things that I want to do this morning, as we've taken some time in God's Word, just reminding ourselves of what his Word has to say to us, I want to invite Jay Carricker up, so he's going to begin making his way. Way to sit at the back, Jay. Good job, buddy. As Jay makes his way up, though, I told him I want this to be more of a conversation, and so we'll grab a couple of chairs, and I told Jay I was going to pepper him with questions this morning and let him finish for me, so, but church, I want to just talk a little bit about, as we think about what God's done in the life of North River Church from the beginning. Jay and his family were part of the launch team that came out here to start North River Church. And so, Jay, you want to just share the heartbeat of West Bradenton Baptist when North River was planted and what the whole purpose was of coming out north of the river?
Sure. So about 9 years ago, we did an outreach program at West Bradenton. It was called Splash, Show People Love and Share Him. And some of us out in Parrish, Scott Johnson, had the idea of having a Memorial Day party and just inviting all our friends and family and strategically and specifically intentionally invite those that, you know, that we know are not churched or may not have a church home and those sort of things. So the response was huge. We had, I want to say it was like 150, almost 200 people at the Johnson's house. And then from there, you know, we started to talk to people and have conversations about church and where do you go, and we started a life group. And Scott's like, man, we should have a life group out here in Parrish, because, you know, a lot of these people are not going to travel on a Sunday to go to Bible school or Sunday school over in West Bradenton. So we began to have a life group. The Johnsons and Jen and I started it, and it grew to like 50-some people. And all this time, you know, Pastor Alan James at West Bradenton, God was putting it on his heart, you know, to do a ministry in this area. And little did we know, we were being used to be a part of that. So he would come out and he would have conversations with folks, and him and Scott were having conversations on the side, and they just decided, you know, why don't we launch a church and plant a church in Parrish?
And this was not something new for West Bradenton, because West Bradenton has planted three other churches as well. Yeah. So rewind back to 9 years ago, and certainly you envisioned all of these people here today.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Of course.
From the beginning,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us about the early days of growing the church down in numbers and those types of things.
So I want to say we started, there was 35 people from West Bradenton that agreed to come out, and I think we opened, the first service was about 100 people, and it was like, wow, we got 100 people to show up. And it wasn't long, maybe 6 months, and there was, you know, 200-300 people coming pretty regularly. And within a year and a half or so, we brought in a full-time pastor and a full-time worship pastor. And we had, you know, 200-300 people coming on a regular basis, a little smaller than today, and things kept growing and growing. And little did we know, and little did the pastors know individually, that they were both being called to go elsewhere. And I think at that time, you know, we had grown and we had become an autonomous church, and we had a full house about like today. And you know, we felt like we had arrived. You know, we did what God had sent us to do, and we had accomplished it. But when the two pastors happened to step down the same Sunday, it was like, whoa, you know, God really showed us that, you know, this isn't about arriving, or this isn't about how many people we get in the door. It's about continuing to do his work and be obedient to what he asked us to do. And at that time, you want me to keep going through that whole process?
Absolutely, yeah.
So at that time, we brought in an interim pastor, and we started walking through 40 days of prayer. We had a search team put together that ultimately, you know, found the greatest pastor in Georgia, which wasn't that hard. just kidding me. But so we're walking through.
And I strategically grabbed two more to come down from Georgia,
yeah,
too. So
exactly. That wasn't part of the deal. So we're walking through this 40 days of prayer, and there's a pastor search team together, and really the church just wrapped its arm around each other, and we continued to grow, and people continued to give faithfully, and a family from Parrish, a longtime Parrish family, came to us during this time and said, hey, we think it would honor our mother's legacy to have a church building on her property in her name. And it was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's pretty scary, because we don't have a pastor. We don't know what's going to happen. But the church, we're praying together and believing that, you know, God had brought us here for a reason. And sorry about that. We weren't done yet, and we had not arrived, and we had more work to do, and we wanted to be obedient and be faithful to what he was doing here in Parrish in this community. So we bought the property and paid it off in a year and a half. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give you a glimpse of that, living in this community, you know probably what property values are going for. And so right down the road, we own 10 acres of land there, as Jay mentioned, that's paid for, have a house on that piece of property that was renovated and provides office space for us. And so a church family, we had the opportunity to purchase that back in the summer of 2015 for $280,000, which is just an amazing work of God to have opened that door up. And then at that point, started a capital campaign with the hopes of paying that off in about 3 years was the goal.
And yeah, so we launched last year. We had the same commitment Sunday and had an amazing response from you guys. And, you know, this church family just continues to be faithful. And, you know, we're grateful for that. So we're now a year in. So today we thought it'd be a good time to have an update and tell you what's been going on, because there's been a lot of things happening in the last year. And then also a lot of people have come into the church in the last year. So it'll give you an opportunity to join in to what we're doing and what God's doing. So if you haven't or weren't able to last year, you have an opportunity this year to jump right in alongside. So we'll do a 2-year campaign to finish out. It'll finish at the same time as the original campaign, as well as give a one-time sacrificial gift, which you don't just have to do today. You can do a 2 or 3 or 4 time, anytime you want. We'll take it.
That's it. Yeah, no, and so if as we think about that, one of the things that when we started the campaign last year, we were looking forward and had the idea of basically what we needed in terms of size. And so as we think about moving into to a new facility that we actually own, that we're not renting and having to set up and tear down each week, we wanted to make sure that we had adequate size in terms of sanctuary space, but also kids' space as well. And so we had had the plans for that, working with preliminary numbers and things like that. Also looking at site development, having a pavilion. It was kind of our grand dream of if God just dumped money out of the sky on us and we could build what we wanted to build, what would that look like? And so when we came to you a year ago as a team, we had the goal set of $2.75 million, which would have enabled us to do all of the above. And so about 4 months ago, we sat down and began to work back through the numbers, began to look at some of those things, and came back and reported to you that the stewardship team, had voted to cap what we were looking at the $2 million mark, which would enable us to build what we were talking about building, minus the pavilion and some of those other things that we could add later on in the process. But we wanted to make sure that we were getting very close to being able to break ground and being able to move forward on the building. And so we're not sacrificing any square footage from what we originally talked about. As you'll see, if you have a campaign guide, you can look at that. We're still looking at the same square footage inside, still looking at accommodating the same amount of people in sanctuary space and also kids ministry space, and looking forward to that day of being able to do that. And so right now, we're working with our civil engineer to continue to walk through the process of submitting to the county what we need to submit for the site development to be approved. And we're also working concurrently with the architect to draw up the completed building plan, so that when we do have word from the county that we can move forward, we'll also have our building plans ready and can move forward with that as well. I want to give you an update just to let you know what that process looks like. For us to get to the point where we're ready to move dirt, it cost about $100,000, which even from Georgia is a lot of money. And but for us, the stewardship team, when we began talking about this a couple of years ago and looking forward to this day, set aside that money. And so that money is not being spent out of what we have currently in our building fund. It was money that was set aside to be able to cover those costs. And so as we have been walking through this process over almost the last 2 years with the architect and engineer, we've been able to pay cash for those as we've been going along, not affecting what's been raised for our building campaign. So, Jay, I want you to give just a brief glimpse. We sent out, the church did, a letter to families, and over, I guess it was about a month ago, just kind of giving track of where we were in the process, but also for those who had made commitments, where they were in their giving process and things like that. Do you want to share just a little bit from that on that letter?
Sure, yeah. So some of you may have wondered, you know, why did I get this letter, or are they checking up on me, or what's going on? So we just wanted to let you know, we thought it was good. First of all, there's only one person that sees any of this, so none of us know what's being given or anything. But we wanted to send a letter out so that you would know and have an idea of where we are in the campaign and where you are in your giving. And if there was maybe, you know, you had committed to a certain amount and you were giving more, or where you were pacing and all those good things. But it's really just for us to keep track. You know, we kind of had some questions about, you know, how do we do it and what's the right way to do it. But we just want to make sure that you have a way to track it. But for us, we also need to be able to plan so we know when we can pull the trigger and start. So it's a helpful tool for you as well as for us to make sure that we're keeping track of the progress and start at the right time and know that the funds are going to be there so that we can continue to build.
Yeah, one of the things that we did is we dropped the number from the 275 to the 2 million. The stewardship team had asked that we commit to raise about half of the money on the front end, so that we didn't go substantially into debt to build a building. There are a lot of churches that have done that and are not able to do ministry at the level that they had previously been doing ministry or would like to do ministry in the future. And the reason is because they have to make a building payment every single month. And so we wanted to make sure that as we walk through this process that we were wise in that. And so with us dropping that goal down to 2 million, capping the project at that, the stewardship team has come back and said, we want to set the goal of breaking ground on the number of 750,000. And as you see there, we've got in hand about 475,000 pledged, beginning at the last year was 750,000. So if you're looking at those numbers, that was a 3-year commitment to the 750, and we're at 475. Anybody else see what I see? We're moving along really, really well. Got some preliminary numbers. There's been about a little over $55,000 that has come in that we weren't expecting, which is always good. And we praise the Lord for that. So if you look at those numbers, 475 to 750, we are not that far away from being ready to start construction. Now, let me say this. If we hit that number today, don't expect bulldozers tomorrow, okay? Let me just let you know of that. We are still working through that process with the engineer and the architect. We're getting close, but we do have a little bit of time that we're going to have to do that. And so we are excited about breaking ground. We're looking forward to that, and yet we want to be wise as we walk through that process as well. So, Jay, let me ask. I've heard your testimony just family-wise about giving, about tithing, and then giving above and beyond as we think about a building commitment, a building campaign. Would you share just your story, and that way folks can hear that I may not have heard that?
Thanks for letting me know that was coming. Sure, I'd be glad to. So I grew up in church. Every time the doors were open, my parents were deeply involved, and we were always there. And you know, watched them tithe, and you know, they were the example for us, and my wife Jen as well. But you know, when you get married, things are tight. You go off
living
to college,
on love,
right?
Yeah,
go off to college and maybe get away from church a little bit, and then come back and you get married, and there's lots of bills to pay. And Jen was always like, you know, we need to be tithing. You know, we grew up this way. This is what we believe. And, you know, God's been faithful to us, and we need to be obedient to him. And I fought back, and we didn't tithe for, oh, man, I want to say about the first 6 years of marriage. And every week it was, you know, something that God was really tugging on my heart. And about 12 years ago, it really just hit me one day, and I told Jen, I was like, I can't do it anymore. We've got to do it. I don't know how. You know, things were tight at that time, and really the finances weren't there. It didn't make any sense. If we tied 10%, there wasn't going to be the money for the check to even go through. So did it anyway, and the first month, God was just amazing, showed up in a big way. We actually got a check in the mail that we had no idea was coming for the exact same amount of the check that we wrote. Yeah. And it was like, I got it. Message received. It didn't come the next month. I was hoping that was going to be like a regular thing. It wasn't. But God's faithful, and if I think that's really what this is all about, right? You know, if we're obedient, and you know, you preached a few weeks back in Acts, you know, about the early church and their obedience, and if we're willing to do those same things and be obedient and step up and do what He's asked us to do, there's no end, there's no cap to what He can do here.
Absolutely, that's great. As we think about moving forward, and as we get ready to close out our service, give you an opportunity this morning to respond. As you'll see in the handouts that are around you, inside is all the details of what is going on in terms of the building project, what we're anticipating in terms of cost, timeline, all of those things. You'll be able to find that information there. We did, as we move forward, have asked that at the beginning of the campaign last year, for you to consider making a one-time sacrificial offering separate from your commitment that would last a three-year period of time. We've asked for you to consider doing that again as today as we look forward. Maybe you came in and you thought, gosh, I didn't know that was today. And that's perfectly fine. You can always give at any point to our building campaign if you want to give in terms of a sacrificial offering like that. You can give online. Those details are in our bulletin as well. You can do that. But we will, at the end of a service here in just a little bit, have an opportunity for you to come and to drop that into to the building here that was built. The other thing that we've asked as well is maybe last year you were not here at North River Church, and you're new and you say, gosh, Michael, I want to jump in and be a part of that. In your campaign guide is a commitment card that you'll find in there, and it's actually a two-year commitment. So it'll coincide with the three-year commitment we started a year ago, and you can fill that out and commit to whatever the Lord's laid on your heart there, and you can drop that off here as well. And again, none of what you fill out is legally binding or anything like that. It just gives us an opportunity to be able to plan ahead as we move forward through this process. And so you may pledge something and you say, gosh, I thought it was going to work out. Things just don't look good, and I may need to reduce that commitment. There's freedom there to do that, as well as on the other end, there's freedom to increase that commitment. Amen. There's freedom to increase that commitment as well if you've made a commitment there. And so love for you, if you're new or maybe you didn't commit last year to the building campaign, you'd like to make an ongoing two-year commitment, we would love for you to have the opportunity to do that. We will have the piggy banks emptied and back ready for our kids to take home with them next Sunday. And they can begin looking forward to next year as they save and are able to put change in those. Last year, we gave out T-shirts, North River T-shirts. Many of you have those on. And if you haven't gotten a T-shirt, or maybe you didn't do a good job washing your T-shirt, and you need a new T-shirt, there's a table set up at the back where you can grab those T-shirts as well. And love for you to wear those out in our community. We're excited about what God's doing. We want to invite you to jump in with us, whatever that looks like for you. Again, this is not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice on all of our parts, sacrificing, believing that God is going to do more than we can ask or imagine as we're faithful to give to Him. And so I want to ask Pastor Scott if he'll make his way back up, and we will stand here in just a little bit and sing. And I want to invite you, if you do have a commitment card or you have a one-time gift that you would like to come, and you can just come and drop it off here in the building, and we will give you an update be looking for that Monday on our Facebook page. We'll email the video out to you as well, an update of what came in and kind of where we are in this process as we move forward. If you have any questions, Jay and myself will be at the back at the end of the service. Love to answer any of the questions that you may have about our campaign process. But church, I'm excited. I want to encourage you to pray for what God's doing. On the back of your campaign guide is Sunday through Saturday, a prayer guide as we continue to walk through this process over the next 2 years. I want to encourage you to pray specifically for these things that are mentioned here as we walk through this process. Thank you for giving. Thank you for giving faithfully and giving generously. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing, God, in the life of our church. Lord, we're thankful for, as we think about the history of North River Church and at every turn, your faithfulness. God, moments that things look dark, moments where maybe it was just unclear what the next step was, and yet in each of those moments, you weren't caught by surprise. You knew exactly what you were doing in the life of this church. And Father, we trust you that you know what our future holds. Father, we have stepped out in faith. We've moved forward as we've sought you and sought wise counsel. And Father, we believe that you're going to provide what we need to move forward and have a permanent facility for North River Church in this community. And so, Father, this morning, as people give and as they make pledges, Lord, would you encourage them, strengthen them? Lord, would you do beyond all that we could ask or think with what's given today and in the future? Father, would you help us be faithful to share what Christ has done in our lives with other people? Lord, we trust you, we praise you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, and we will sing, and you feel free to come and drop your gift off if you have a one-time offering or a commitment card. You do that this morning.